I'm excited for the message because it's the Word and you ought to be excited for the Word. I don't know about you, but I get excited at mealtime. Does anybody else like to eat or is it just me? Well, our spirits like to eat all the time. What's cool about our spirits is they don't get full. I hate getting full. It makes me mad, especially when things taste good. Man! But those, you know, those professional eaters, they just eat real fast. You can fit more in. I guess that's the key. Just eat more, eat faster. You get more in there. But anyways, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're blessed, aren't we, to be in church, Amen. To be in His Word. I know it's a sacrifice to come on a Tuesday night, I know it, but you'll be blessed for it. He just loves you so much. Father, help us tonight. Lord, I mean that. Lord, it is an honor to be here with these people around Your Word. And Father, to be able to deliver Your Word is not a small thing in my mind, my sight, Father. It's quite an honor and a privilege. But Lord, they made the effort to drive here, to come here after work, have to take care of things when they're done here, Father. And so Lord, they need something tonight. Bless them for coming. Bless them for being hungry. And Father, I know You will because You're faithful. And Father, I thank You You're going to help me, Lord. I am so grateful that You don't leave me to my own devices, that Father, I don't have to do this on my own talents and abilities. We would be in trouble. But Father, I thank You for the anointing tonight. I thank You for the Word that will flow out of me. That will be words from heaven, hitting bullseyes in people's hearts. And Father, we're going to get something from You tonight, and it'll alter the course of our lives. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord has been dealing with me recently, and I've been mentioning it more and more, to keep talking about the testimonies in my life. And really highlighting some of the bigger ones, you know. You know, one of the reasons I go back to that financial testimony all the time is I haven't had one better yet. And haven't had one more impressive that what God did. And, you know, where I was in a deeper hole than I was for 2 years, you know, without a salary and obeying God. But He keeps going, telling me to go back to that testimony, but also to emphasize not just the fact that we were $2,000 short and paid our bills every single month and were on time all the time, but the fact that we paid $60,000 worth of debt off in 2 years. That's supernatural. And He keeps having me to go back to that. And, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. And so that's why we're going to keep sharing these things. It'll be a blessing to you. But what I want to go with you tonight or talk about is in that testimony, you know, of paying off that money. It's a great testimony. You know, you tell people that story, you can see the look on their faces that They start to calculate in their own mind. And you know, I deal with people all the time, and people can be just a few $100 short, and it just throw them off, or one little thing break down. And, man, that's what I was facing week after week, month after month, day after day for 2 years, and God was faithful. But the thing I want you to know about that is, God, I do encourage you, maybe we'll share that message here sometime. Just depends on how the Holy Ghost leads. But I preached a message on Sunday about if God did it once. If He's no respecter of persons, He's faithful. And so He doesn't just do that for Pastor Mike Anderson. There's lots of people. You have your own financial testimonies and things you've been through. But my point is this, is that it didn't just happen by chance.
That's right. Come on.
I didn't just fall into this supernatural provision and supernatural flow by happenstance. It was, there was a God, there's always, if you understand, there's always a God side. And there's always a man side. And if you take one out of the equation, you don't get what's intended for you. God's part's always going to be there. But man has a part. And had I not done my part, now, you know, my part, you might think to yourself, you know, you might blow that up in your mind that, wow, Pastor Mike, too. Be able to believe God for $2,000 a month. Let me help you with something with your faith. Faith is not a hard thing. What do I mean by that? Faith is not a hard thing. All faith is, if you'd remember this, is just agreeing with God. Just agree with God. Just agree with God. It's not hard to agree with God. See, He told me in His Word, I'll meet all your needs according to riches and glory. He didn't say if you get to $2,000 short a month, start to panic. He just said, I'll meet your needs. I just agreed with Him. Amen. What do you need? Well, he said he'll give it to you. Just agree with him. That's what that's all faith is. So when you hear that, you say, man, I could never do that. You could never agree with God. I could agree with God. If your need was $5,000 short a month, he said he'd do it. If it was $100 short a month, he said he'd do it. All you got to do is get yourself to a place. I can agree with that, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But it didn't happen by chance. And here's what I want you to see is if I didn't do my part, things would have turned out different. Things didn't just happen for me because I'm a minister. In fact, I know many ministers from being in different conferences and traveling and different things that are struggling financially. Yet they're giving their life for the gospel. They're passionate about the Lord. They're faithful. They love Jesus. They love the people. And they're struggling financially. So my point is, it didn't just come swooping down some financial water slide into my life because I'm a pastor, you know, and that's just how it works. No, I know lots of struggling ministers. And had I not done my part, it would have turned out different. Now, the example the Lord gave me concerning that isn't even a financial one. But if you look at Peter and Judas, they both were with him for 3.5 years, saw some mighty things, miracles, signs and wonders. And they both had a major oopsie moment, didn't they? They both did. I mean, Peter, what'd he do? He denies Jesus 3 times. One of the times was to a little girl. What could she do to him? Nothing. But that's how fearful he was. And then Judas, what? Betrays Jesus with money. Well, they did different things. But in reality, both of them were really the same. You know, one would say, well, one was worse because of money. They both really just denied him and turned on him. But it doesn't matter whether it's the same thing or not, because we know this, that 1 John 1 and verse 9 says what? If you confess your faults or your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you from all. What's all? I'll take that 30, those 30 pieces of coin there for to deny him. I don't know Jesus. Those are just alls. We know Peter's result was what? Forgiveness. Well, why was Peter forgiven and Judas wasn't? It wasn't on the God side part. Because God already gave us a promise, if you'll confess all your failures, I'll forgive you of them. Well, Judas had it all, and Judas didn't cooperate with what the Word offered him. And it turned out very different in his life. Peter could have ended up like Judas, and Judas could have ended up like Peter. It all came down to what did they do with the Word. That financial blessing did not just happen to Pastor Mike. That financial blessing that's being withheld from those other ministers, it belongs to them too. Right? I could very easily be them and they could very easily be me. It just comes down to cooperate with this book. That's it. Praise God. And you have to be a catalyst for your own change. People weren't lining up to give me money. People aren't lining up to give this church money outside these walls. I got to believe God for the money. And I'm guessing people aren't lining up to give you money either. Or to whatever you need in your life, blessings in your life. You have to be the catalyst. That woman with the issue of blood, Jesus wasn't even going to her house. He's just passing through her town. She had to be the catalyst to her own change. Hallelujah. Well, that testimony of $2,000 short every month, obviously, you know, we talk about the $2,000 going through a year, going through 2 years. It has a middle part, a three-fourths part, a quarter part, and an end part. But it had a starting line. Amen. It had a starting line. Yeah, there was faith. And there was persistence. And there was patience in there. But that wasn't where the starting line was. And I want to help you tonight with the starting line. That you can start cooperating and putting yourself in line. Because what did I say in that slick text today? Blessings don't just come to everybody just by chance. Isaiah 1:19 is the starting line. It says, if you be willing and obedient, You shall eat the good of the land. The good of the land represents what? My bills being paid every single month for 2 years. $60,000 worth of debt being paid off in 2 years with one salary down $2,000 short every month. That's good of the land eating.
Amen.
Amen? That's good of the land. Well, the Bible says everybody can have the good of the land. If you're not living in the good of the land, you need to ask yourself, do I qualify for the good of the land? Am I in line for the good of the land? Judas qualified for forgiveness. Peter qualified for forgiveness. One cooperated, one didn't. And you have to ask yourself, the good of the land, do I qualify? Because the Bible says if. That means there could be an if not. If you're willing and obedient. Now look at this. What's the last word before eating the good of the land? The word obedient, right? Obedience is the last door one must go through to enter into the room of the good of the land. That's the last door. Obedience is the final door before blessing. So I'm going to show you tonight that without this verse, without me cooperating with this verse, I never would have gotten into the good of the land, which was the $2,000 being made up every month plus excess enough to pay off, $60,000. I remember when I went back and looked at it, I had to add it like five or six times and go through all, I saved all the paperwork. I said, because when I tell the testimony, I don't want to lie. I don't want to embellish. I want to know what it was. And I could not believe that we had knocked off $60,000 of debt while being $2,000 short. Short runs in the family here, isn't it? Every month, that just comes with the territory, I guess. I don't know. And if I would have been willing and obedient, I would never eat the good of the land. Without this verse, Pastor Mike never walks into that good of the land. Now, go with me to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah, good luck finding it. Not very many Jonahs in the Bible. You know how many pages, Jonah pages. That's why I just need to get a Bible like Pastor Mike, and I'll tell you where to go. And page 916. Just get one like me. We'll be on the same page. But if you don't want to take time to look for it, we can just pull it up. But Jonah chapter 1. Now, I want to show you something here. If you're living a life of unwillingness and disobedience, you are missing out on the fullness of the good of the land. Amen.
Amen.
If you're missing out, if you're not fully willing, fully obedient, there's a good of the land that you are missing out on. In Jonah chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of that guy, saying, arise. All these names, you know. Man, oh man. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So God is telling Jonah, go and talk to these people. Tell them to change their ways. Why? God knows the New Testament version of this verse. It's called the wages of sin is death. You know what's interesting about God? People say God's a destroyer, but you look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God kept trying to find righteous people in that place. Abraham, he kept bringing the number down. Just find me 10. If you find me 10, I'll spare it. God didn't want to destroy that place. But there's spiritual laws in motion. Sometimes spiritual laws are set in motion, they can't be undone. God's not a destroyer. God's a restorer, a life giver. But the wages of sin is death, and these people are wicked. What are they walking in? Sin, sin, sin. So what's that mean? The reaping of death. And God's like, I don't want that to happen in their lives. Let's turn this around. Well, if you go to Jonah chapter 4, Jonah chapter 4 in verse 11, he said, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city where there are more than 60,000 persons? What happened was Jonah ends up going there, right? Preaching. They turn, praise God, and things change for them. Now that's not the portion of the story I really want to focus on, but it goes in line with what we've already said, that you can change some things in your life if you'll cooperate. The people of Nineveh cooperated with the word of God and their whole future was different. They weren't destroyed. But what I want to see, you see, is, and Jonah here, we know the story of Jonah and the whale. And we think it's just a fun little kid story, but it's in the Bible, it's real, but think of that ride. And but why did he end up there? Because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. What was Jonah? Unwilling, not obedient, wasn't eating the good of the land. Now we could go over and over and over and over again and look at people that were obedient, ate the good of the land. People that weren't obedient, didn't eat the good of the land. Jonah wasn't willing to go, wasn't obedient to go. And what happened? Missed out on the good of the land. In fact, he struggled. Ended up in a very bad place until he what? Decided, I'll go, Lord. I'll do it. Well, think about my testimony. Obedience is the last door before the good of the land to walk through. Well, my obedience to get into that testimony was what? Pastor Mike, quit your job. Stay home and raise a baby. What? Lord, you were there when they tried to send Caleb home with me. And the nurse came in, said, have you ever changed a diaper? I said, no. And she said, okay, well, just learn. And I was doing it, you know. And she said, you got to put this stuff on his hind end, his tushy. Desitin. I thought, why? So what I did is I took a little dab on my finger. I found the thickest, meatiest part of his butt cheeks and started just rubbing on. She said, no. That's not just the only place it's going to go. You got to go or no man's gone before. I didn't know anything's my point. And the Lord told me, you got to know me how funny this is. You're going to stay home with him full time. And you're going to quit your job before you have a baby. When your money increase, when your finances and bills are going to keep going up, your increase is going to go down a lot. So much so that you're going to have a new baby, now you're going to be $2,000 short every month. And you're going to take care of him. Well, let me tell you what, that's a heavy load. That's a heavy load. See, this is what people, they look at my life and they'll say, man, I want to be like that. I want to be victorious. I want to walk in. There's so many things I've had to go through, be willing and obedient, tough doors to walk through. Tough doors to walk through, and we can't even get people to be faithful to come to church. And then even serve when they're here, and they want the big blessings, and here God's telling me, quit your job, yet alone just come to church. Coming to church is about the easiest thing. I can't even believe it when I get to go into guest ministry meetings. And all I got to do is show up and do nothing. I just can't believe how easy it is. I mean, not only do I am I here all the time, I drive. I put so many miles on my truck to obey God's plan. Quit your job with a baby on the way. You know nothing about being a father. You know nothing about being a stay-at-home parent. You're going to stay home with him for 2 years. That's what happened. And I knew it was God. Well, that's a heavy load. But look what happens. Here, when I'm making a salary, coupled with her salary, we're still in debt every month. Not getting ahead. We're not thriving. That was like a catapult into the good of the land. A willingness and obedience. Without being willing to do what God said, I'd have never been in the place to believe him. I remember I went out and looked for a third shift job. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking money. My mind was. See, when your mind's on your money and your bills, it causes you to compromise. It causes you to take jobs that take you out of church. It causes you to take jobs that will cause you to compromise with your family. Just all sorts of things because your mind is on the money. Well, here I was all day staying home with Caleb. She gets home. After that, I go lock myself up. I got to pastor a church still. Well, I got to sleep sometime. I thought, no time to sleep. I got to get money. Well, that would have run myself down. I've told you the story. When I was in Bible school, and what Pastor Mike do, didn't turn his heat on, afraid of paying the bill, didn't have the bill. So what Pastor Mike do, take hot showers and go to bed with a cold, wet head and freezing cold room. And I got sicker than I've ever been before. Why? My eyes were on the money, not on the supplier. Amen. It caused you to do funny things. But here, Lord tells me to do something. That was the absolute catapult, but I'll tell you what, it was hard. And I'll get to that in a second, on my flesh. But this verse here, go back to Isaiah 1:19 if you would, Kim Lai, didn't start for me in 2009 when God spoke it to me. In 2010, I started to walk it out. That didn't start with me then. This verse started with me back in 2002. I got born again January of 2002, January 10th, 2002. And I got saved, you know, and going along. I was glad to be born again. Months and months and months are going by, and I'm working at a place called the General Store in Falconer, New York. And I'm the guy that gets there at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, gets all the coffee ready and all the donuts and the breakfast sandwiches and stuff, opens the store, you know, making minimum wage, no benefits, just, you know, hating the job, not enjoying it, things like that, you know, and just kind of really going nowhere, spinning my wheels. And just frustrated in life. And Jesus was my Savior, but He never became my Lord. A lot of people like that fire insurance. He's not their Lord. He's not their Lord, but He's their Savior. And Jesus wasn't my Lord because, I think y'all know the story, I was terrified to submit to Him. I knew from a young age, my heart was towards God even when I didn't know Him. I just always had this fondness to know Him more. I was aware of Him, but with ignorance, you know, didn't know anything. And so I knew I was called to minister. I knew that there was something more for me. I just knew it. But I never wanted to find out or sell out to Him because I was terrified that He was going to do what? Send me to China or Africa. Now, you might want to go to China or Africa, but this homebody doesn't even want to go to Canada. Unless it's a hunting trip, then I'll get my mind renewed and I'll go. It's tough. You know I don't like going to Canada? Because I had the barbecue sauce from McDonald's, and it's not the same. I'm telling you, it's not the same. And that threw me off. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to McDonald's here because everything else scares me. Everything, the gold marches look the same, you know, the menu looks the same. Everything looked the same until I dipped. And it just threw me off. I don't even want to come back here anymore. Just keep me in America. I just want to stay in America. Praise God. And I don't want to go to China or Africa. And I was terrified. And my life's messed up. I'm a Christian. I'm broke. Sick in my body, still sick in my mind, still struggling with addictions and things, even as a Christian, you know. And finally, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and this verse came up in my heart. One morning, I was driving to the General Store, the pitch black, it was dark, it was cold. I'm frustrated, mad at the world, you know, hating my life. This Christian stuff, everybody else is happy, I'm not. And this verse came up in my heart. Willing and obedient, I thought, wow. I'm not willing to go to China and Africa. And if He told me to go, I sure wouldn't be obedient. Well, I guess I don't get to eat the good of land because the Bible says, if I do those first two things, then I can have the good of land. And the way I'm living is not the good of land. So I'm in my truck, you know, the one I threw a snowball through. That was a good truck. I love that truck. I'm driving. And finally, that verse came out. I got mad at God. That's a waste of time, by the way. I got mad at God. Slammed my hands in the steering wheel. I said, fine, I'll go. I'll go. I'll do it. It's got to be better than this. I'll go to China or Africa. And I meant it. I meant it. What did Pastor Mike do? Started to get in line for the good of the land. I aligned myself with the qualifications to receive the good of the land. Amen. Amen. I did, praise God. And it wasn't too long after that service I was in Fredonia, and I heard the audible voice of God. At least I believe it was, it was a voice. I know it was a voice, and I believe it was the Lord, you know, speaking to me. At the time, I just feel like I knew that as a word of knowledge, confirmation that told me go to Rhema. I mean, that was out loud. I was looking around at who's saying that? Who's saying that? Go to Rhema. And so the Lord told me to go to Bible school. Well, I mean, I could tell you about that as well. We could go on that. See, we're talking about not easy things here. Hey, pick up in your 1990 Nissan with 207,000 miles, rust all over it, no money at all, go to a place you don't have any clue of, no job, no money, nobody's helping you out, pick up and go. That's what the Lord told me to do. And guess what? I did it. Hey, Jesus, go to the cross. That's not easy. Hey, Abraham, take your son up. That's not easy. Hey, Jonah, go. It's not easy. Hallelujah. But here's the thing I want to talk to you about tonight. I am talking to you about it, so that was not my intro. My gosh, you're probably so scared right now. What's wrong with him? He doesn't shut up. But the obedience is the last door. But there's the first door you must go through to get to the second door. Willingness. You'll never be obedient until you first are willing. Jesus obeyed the calling of the cross, but first he was willing to come to the earth and go through what he did, and then he walked out the obedience. I want to talk to you about willingness tonight, about being willing. What would that look like? That would look like this. Walking out of here and all the stuff that you've told the Lord you'll not do, all the things that you say, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. I'll never do that, Pastor Mike. The things they hear me say, and you say, well, I'd never do that. Those are the very things that are disqualifying you from the good of the land. Willingness. He didn't want me to go to China or Africa. Still hasn't called me there. Please don't. We have a thing. I mean, I'm just saying. But I got willing, and I would have. And I would have done anything he said to me. I'm just going to tell you this. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and my financial situation, and not knowing anybody, might as well have been China or Africa for me. I'm just telling you. I got there, and I'm not ashamed to admit this. I laid on my mattress on the floor and cried and cried and cried and cried. What am I doing? Where are you? It's hard, amen? But that's what I want to talk to you about, is being willing. Go with me to Matthew 26, 36. Don't you want to get everything that God has for you? Amen. You can't get it without being willing and obedient. We see it all throughout the Word. Jonah wasn't willing or obedient, and it hurt him, cost him. And then we see people that were willing and obedient to do whatever. I love the life of Abraham. Man, he had some tough things to walk out. We meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 with God telling him, leave everything you know. Leave everything that's comfortable, Abraham, and just start going and I'll show you where to go. And he didn't hesitate, he just did it. But yet we see the blessing of Abraham on his life. My goodness. I just want you so bad to be blessed. You have no idea how much your pastor wants you blessed. And you just got to, this is the starting point. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he said unto his disciples, sit here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me. All he said was watch. Now, a lot of times people have preached that he told them to pray. He didn't tell them to pray. He told them to watch. It's different. Look it up in the Greek. That's a different word. To watch. He just said, watch with me. Now, eventually, he tells them to watch and pray, but watch and pray means that praying is different. He says, just watch with me. I just want you to be there with me. Amen. That's what he said to him. Then he said, then he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That should be our prayer every day. Jesus is showing us humanity. I don't want to do this. I don't want to stay home with him for 2 years. I don't know how to do that. I don't want to quit my job. I don't want to go to Rhema. I don't want to start a second church. I don't want to start a church in South Dayton. Who starts a church in South Dayton? Nobody with a right mind. I don't want to do any of that. But not my will, Father. If that's what you want, I'll do it. Hallelujah. And Jesus prayed that. He said, Lord, I don't want to do it. Father, I don't want to do this. If it's possible, can we change it? Can we bargain here? Can we do something different? Of course, the answer was no. He said, odds my will, your will. And he cometh unto his disciples, finds them asleep, and says unto Peter, what? You couldn't watch with me 1 hour? Like, you couldn't do this? This is all I asked. 1 hour you couldn't do this? That's what I'm talking about. We want the things that the what we call faith giants have, and we can't even do the little things. Not everybody, you know what I mean. But and then he said, notice this, and this is what I want to get to about being willing. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit wants to do the right thing. The Spirit wants to fulfill God's plan. But the flesh is weak, and because the flesh is weak, that means the flesh is loud. And the flesh is in control. When it says the flesh is weak, it doesn't mean that it's not in control. It's weak in the sense of following God's plan. It doesn't want to do it. It wants to be carnal. It wants to be loud. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Now this is what you have to understand. Because if you don't, you'll get shocked by when things are difficult. When you're asked something tough. You know, I could sit here and tell you about offerings that I've sowed from this church and from my life personally that when the Lord spoke it to me, made my eyeballs spin. Because I knew what it was going to do to my bank account. I knew what it was going to do to me financially. Now, my spirit's willing to do whatever God says to do. But my flesh was weak. But I did those things, and I can't tell you the increase and favor and blessing that I walked into from doing it. From being what? Willing and obedient. Hallelujah. Get out of Bible school. I'm raring to preach. I mean, I know I was raring because I've preached the sermons to the squirrels and the deer and the trees. They've heard some of the best messages they've ever heard before. And I thought, man, the world needs to hear from me. You know, just a pride bag when I was younger. Just full of myself, thinking, man, there ain't been a preacher like this before. I mean, I'm in my tree stand thinking, my goodness, if these trees could shout amen, they surely would be. I know, that's the way I thought, you know. And my pastor says, okay, go put an orange vest on and stand outside in the parking lot. In the winter, in the rain, in the hot sun. You be here on time, and you be here every service. Sir, yes, sir. Amen, I'll do it. Praise God. That doesn't mean you don't ever miss vacations and things, but not stupid, silly, you know, mundane things. Did it faithfully, praise God. Hard things, you know, to the flesh. But this is what I want to tell you. When he told me go in the parking lot, that was a heavy blow. Heavy blow. What do you mean the parking lot? You need to come sit in the woods with me for an hour. Hear what's going on out there, sir. Of course, nothing special was going on. Just my brain was telling me it was. It says in verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth, that word means the war, against the Spirit. And these are contrary. They contradict one another. So that you cannot do the things that you would or that you should or that you need to do. So it's telling us something here. That your flesh, which is the what? The feelings, your soul, the flesh, the realm, your emotions. You know, the things that are so, I mean, I just come over there and just lift your arm up, I'll pinch you. Right underneath your arm. And you'll know how real that realm is. Whereas the spirit realm, because it's not sense oriented, you can't, there's no feeling there. There's nothing tangible to touch. Right? So the flesh seems way more real than the spirit. And the Bible says that realm is fighting against the realm we can't feel. And there's nothing to grab onto. So what I'm saying to you is, to be willing and obedient, you have to understand to go through those doors, it's going to be doors of uncomfort. Doors of hardship to your flesh. Doors of torment to your mind at times. Oh, yes. Pastor Mike, go to Oklahoma. That was not easy on my flesh. That was not easy on my mind. Quit your job and stay home with your son. You talk about loud, screaming flesh and mind. But see, that's what you have to understand, that that's a thing. And most people, because it's so loud and so real, they give into it. That's how people get into worry. What's worry? Just your flesh being loud. What's fear? Giving into fear. Just your flesh being loud. That's all it is. What's doubt and unbelief? Just your flesh being loud. And giving into the flesh that's being loud. So we need to get to a place, praise God, where our flesh does not dominate our spirits. Because God, we see it over and over again in the Word. The people that got into the greatest things went through the toughest doors of willingness and obedience. Some of you think, you know what? I would love to walk into a harvest. Well, you might have to go through a hard door of being willing and obedient to sow a seed that you've never even thought you'd write that number down and give it to a church or a ministry. That might be what God tells you to do. He's done it to me several times. We see it in the Word. He's told people to do stuff. He might have you want to, there's a need in the church, have you serve in a department. That in your mind, when pastor talks about, we need help here, I mean, you just turned the white noise up so loud so you don't hear me or nothing. Come on. And the flesh is saying, no. No nursery. No help. I don't want to do it. And it might be the very thing that's waiting for your good of the land. Amen. Yes, I'm just telling you. So good. Praise God. Here's the thing. Don't, you made me say this, so just blame yourself. Most people can't even get past the willingness and obedience to obey this book. The Bible already tells you to be faithful to church. You don't need to hear that from heaven. The Bible already tells you to give. You don't need to hear that from heaven. I already told you. The Bible already told you serve. You don't need to hear that from heaven. You don't need to pray about should I serve in the church. Well, I'm going to pray about that. Why? You don't need to pray about it. He already told you to do it. But my point is, people want the grandiose of the good of the land, and they're not even willing and obedient to do the, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? You mean to tell me you can't do nursery once a month? Really? And I died on the cross for you? I got holes and holes and a hole and scars. That's the truth. I bless you with all this and you can't bring me 10% of all that I've given you. And you want the grandiose of the good of the land. Willing and obedient starts with the Word. Starts with the Word. Hallelujah. But you have to know that even the Word is spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit. What does the spirit do? It fights against the flesh. So when the word tells you, go to church. The word tells you to serve. The word tells you to give. The word tells you to forgive. The word tells you to walk in love. Your flesh is going to What? Kids aren't stupid. Why do kids put on a show in the middle of Walmart and lay on the ground and kick and scream loud? Because what does that do to the parent? It makes their flesh crawl. And so they just want to do anything that they can, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's sowing good things into them or wrong things, just to get it to stop. And the kid knows that. Oh, I know how to get my way. I know how to stop this. I know how to change the environment. I'll just... So what does the flesh do? Same exact thing. When your spirit needs to do the right thing and your flesh doesn't want to, it gets so loud. Why do I get the hungriest when I'm about ready to pray? Why do all of a sudden I'm wide awake and then all of a sudden I'm so sleepy? Because the flesh is like, I don't want to do that. There's a football game on. There's Cheetos in the cupboard. He likes Cheetos. You can tell. He likes any kind of candy. That's why I am too, buddy. But your flesh will just scream and scream and scream and scream. But Galatians 6 and verse 8 is a real thing. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You keep listening to that garbage. Yeah? You keep obeying that flesh that's loud. Not going through willing and obedient. You don't walk into the good land, you walk into corruption. Destruction, lack. I don't want that for you, and you don't want that for yourself. Well, in closing, I'm going to help you, tell you how to go forward. Romans 8:13. I know these messages that kind of challenge us, they're not really shout from the rooftop messages. I mean, I'm out here dancing around, doing spins and cartwheels and jumping jacks. It could still be good without the jumping jacks and the cartwheels, right? It's still the word. I mean, you're chewing on it tonight. I know you are. Is there anything that's between you and Him? What is it that you're not willing to do? What is it that you're not willing to... He knows this is the truth. If He told me, start a church somewhere other city on a Tuesday night, I'm telling you the truth. Start a church somewhere else on a Monday night, on a Sunday afternoon, on a Monday night, a Tuesday night, a Thursday night, a Friday night. He knows. I've told Him. If He told me to do it, I'd say, Lord, I'll go as far as I can get there. And if it's farther, You're going to have to get me a private jet. If I can drive there, I'll get there. I don't care if I'm driving all. He knows I will drive through the night to go. If He said, Pastor Mike, on a Monday night or a Sunday night church, I want you to have Sunday night church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's 3 hours from my house. I'd get out of South Dayton every week. You know what I would do? I would faithfully drive to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania every single day, every single Sunday. We do it faithfully. And I'm not just up here blowing smoke at you. I'm telling you, I've proven the hard things to Him. Why? Not because I'm amazing and wonderful. I have a revelation of how good of the land actually is. And that I have a revelation also that He asks things that are hard, but He doesn't care. Because He knows, hey, I'm trying to get you into something better. Oh, you want that gold medal? Okay, you can't eat like that. Well, that's going to be hard on my flesh. It's just not going to be easy. No, it's not going to be easy. To run your race and to finish and to get... What did Paul say? I reach. I press to get the mark, the prize of the prize. I got to reach. I got to press for it. It's not easy. You can't sleep those habits. You can't eat like that. You can't train like that. You want the gold medal? We got to ramp it up. Yeah, it's going to be tough on your flesh, but it's worth it. Amen. Praise God. And I have a revelation. It's not because I'm amazing and wonderful. No, I got to walk this stuff out just like you do. I'm just as much flesh and blood as you are. Come live with me for a week. You'll see how fleshly, how real of a human I am. I'm just saying. Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. That's that corruption stuff. But there's another option, thank God. If through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body. So how can you mortify? How can I come against this flesh that's loud? Only through the Spirit. Well, how then do we do it? I'm going to help you with two things going forward. And if you'll do these, you know, there's things that God has maybe told people, but your flesh is so loud, you won't do it. But it's your blessing, it's your answer. There's seeds God's told you to sow, things to be faithful in, things to walk out, but your flesh is so loud, you won't do it. And all it's doing is keeping you from the good of the land. It's the truth. If you don't get to the place where you're willing, how's God going to deal with you about the hard things if you're not even willing to hear the hard things? If you already go to Him closed off, I'm not going to do this and this and this, and He's saying this is the very thing that's going to get you into that. You got to get to a place where you're a Garden of Gethsemane type person and say, whatever you want. Whatever you want, Lord. You know what Paul told Timothy? As I'm such a sweet pastor. My pastor's not so much sweet. He's not. Paul told Timothy this. Endure hardness as a good sheep. No, soldier. You know what soldiers do? When the general says something, the private doesn't say, nah. I don't want to do that. That doesn't feel fun. That's not comfortable. Oh, boy, you're going to pay a price then. You're going to pay a price then. But as Christians, what do we do with God? The ultimate general tells us, I don't know, it seems hard, Laura. Well, what do we miss out on? The good land. Matthew 4:4. We're going to go two more places, then we're going to close this thing down. Matthew 4:4. Trying to learn not to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. It's taking me time to learn that. Matthew 4:4 says, "He answered, 'It is written, man shall not live.'" That's not the heartbeat. That's Zoe. That's good of the land. "Man shall not live or have good of the land by bread alone, but they can have it by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What we need to do, people, is build your spirit man up to be stronger than your flesh. Yeah. You know, I always tell the story that, you know, about Abby, and she can kick and scream all she wants and thump me. But when I want to control her, I can control her. Well, what is that? Me being stronger than her. Your flesh needs to be Abby, and your spirit needs to be Pastor Mike. That when your flesh starts, blah, stop it, knock it off. You're done now. But your flesh is so loud at times that it's the opposite roles. Your flesh is telling your spirit, knock it off. I don't want to hear from you. We can't have that. You won't be willing and obedient. Because to be willing and obedient to do some of the things that God wants you to do, even things, basic things in the Word that people won't do, you have to have a strong spirit, man. Why? Because the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak or loud and carnal. Why wouldn't Peter pray or just watch for an hour? Because his flesh was louder than his spirit, man. And Jesus said. And you know what? And we'll look at this in the next part here. But he said, you want to live? Bread alone. Nope. Word of God. What do you have to do? Feed your spirit, man. This is basic, Pastor Mike. I know. Why don't we do it then? Every day, people. Every day. I use this analogy all the time, but it's the best one I got. Every day, you eat food. Every day you eat food. And if you go a day without eating food, you feel the effects of it. You get irritable. You know, if you eat, may go like even 2 days, your body starts getting cold without the calories coming in. You get dizzy. You're weaker. So why don't you? You don't want to feel those ways. So what do? You feed your body, which is a normal thing. Well, he's saying that food is like an analogy to the Word of God. If we expect to eat food every day, how could we expect not to feed on His Word? He calls it the daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. He likens the Word. It's a daily thing. It's so normal for you to eat every day, physically. It's so rare that you go a whole day without putting something in your mouth. But it's so common that people don't put anything in the mouths of their spirit day after day. And they wonder. Now, again, we always use this analogy, but we got to think about this now. If we treated our bodies like we treat our spirits, we would be malnourished. We'd be weak. We'd be irritable. We'd be cranky. We'd get sick. Right? I'm not trying, when I say this, if anyone's ever struggled in this or knows somebody, I have compassion for this, but I'm just pointing out the facts of it. You look at somebody that's anorexic. What is anorexic? They have an issue, right? They don't eat. I've never seen a true anorexic person look strong, vibrant, and healthy. Have you? No, I haven't. We have a lot of anorexic Christians. If that's what happens to your body after a prolonged time without natural food, that's what you look like, that's what you feel like, you're weak, you look sickly, you don't look healthy, you don't look vibrant, you're not strong. Imagine what's happening to your spirit, man, day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day. It's just optional. And if you think that this can just be the whole only thing, well, then do that with your body. Do one meal a week for the rest of your life and see how that goes. I'm just trying to help you. Get your spirit man stronger. Why? So when God says something to you, or there's something in the Word that you cannot bring yourself to do, that the disobedience is keeping you out, because the obedience is the last line of defense between you, or the last wall between you and the good of the land. And to get through that, the spirit has to be stronger than the flesh. And if you don't get your spirit man stronger, you'll never do the hard stuff, yet alone when he's telling you in the Word. Peter couldn't even just do the easy stuff. And what did Jesus say? If you can't be faithful in that which is little, how can I trust you in great things? If I can't get you to bring the 10%, how am I going to get you to sow 40% of what's in your bank account that will lead you into the greatest harvest of your life? I can't get you to do 10. If I can't get you to walk in love this in this way, or I can't get you to be, if I can't get you to do, you know what? God doesn't just, faithfulness in God's time is not measured in days. It's not measured in months, weeks. It's measured in years. You see in the Bible, it was years that David was anointed to be king before he became king. Joseph was called to be the prime minister of Egypt, and it was years before it took place. Faithfulness. Oh, you want to pastor two churches, Pastor Mike? Get in the parking lot. Do it when it's raining. Do it when it's snowing. Do it when you don't feel like it. Oh, you want to do that? Okay. How about you then do two youth groups? How about you lead worship when you can't stand to play guitar in front of people? I can't. I don't enjoy it at all. But he told me to do it, and I did it. In fact, I went to my pastor one time. I said, Pastor Mike, I'll do whatever this church needs. I'll get on my hands and knees and cut the grass with scissors if you ask me to do it. Why? I just wanted to walk into what God has for me. Amen. And we never be able to do it if our spirit mans are weak. And our spirit man will never be strong without the daily feeding of the Word of God. You got to think of it like your body. Praise God. Well, go back to Matthew 26, verse 36. I said we're going to go two places, but I wasn't counting this one that we're going to go back to. I want to show you what Jesus told Peter. So the daily bread, you'll live. You'll have abundant life if you'll feed on the Word. Your spirit man will be strong. Amen. Remember that story I tell you about the lady that worked for Brother Hagin's ministry? She knew the Durants, and the Durants went back to Oklahoma to visit at Rhema and to be there. I don't know if there was a conference or something. And they ran into the woman, and she had worked for the ministry for over 40 years in the tape and publication department. And she was joking with them. She said, man, Rhema, they really wasted their money on the insurance plan for me. And he said, why is that? She said, I haven't been to the doctor in 40 years. That's not normal. But I also don't believe it's just coincidental either. They were shocked. Said, what in the world? What do you attribute that to? She said, well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 that the word is health to all my flesh. The Bible says in Psalms 107 verse 20 that he sent his word and healed them. Right? The word is healing. She said, for 40 years, for 8 hours a day, all I've been doing is listening to Brother Hagin's sermons, putting them together on CD, putting them together in the books, putting together publications. She said, I hear the word hours and hours and hours and hours and hours a day. What's happening? Her spirit man's just getting... Her spirit man is, just a tank. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because the word, the word, the word, the word. So Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 41, he says, watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. What's temptation? Just giving into the flesh. Now think about this. Who's he telling this to? Peter. What's Peter do shortly after this? Enters into temptation. Right? You know why? Peter didn't do what Jesus said. Because if you read further down the road, Jesus went and prayed again, came back, and guess what? They're sleeping again. He just told them, Peter, you got to watch and pray that you won't enter into temptation. What's he saying? You won't give in to the carnal things that are going to hurt you if I can get you praying. That's what he said. And Peter didn't do it. He went back to sleep. And then what happened? A little girl comes up to him. Were you with Jesus? No, not me. I don't know what you're talking about. He was so scared. Carnal. His flesh dominated him. But notice what Jesus said. Watch and pray. You see that? Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 14:4 and we'll close there. Praise God. While you're turning there, I'm just going to give you a little appetizer, a little nugget here. Just going to get it there. You don't have to turn there. He said, watch and pray that you don't enter temptation. For indeed, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what he said in Luke 18:1? Jesus spoke this parable, and then he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So it says Luke 18:1. The result of being in prayer is that your spirit will be strong. You won't enter temptation. You won't faint. When God tells you to do something hard, let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it, Lord. Praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:4. So we're talking about building our spirit man up. I just told you how to do it one way. Here's the second way. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 26, if you pray, you won't enter in temptation, meaning your spirit gets stronger. In Luke 18:1, he said, if you pray, you're not going to faint. What's fainting? Just carnality. Because he wasn't talking about fainting like, you know, you need some sugar in your body. And you know what I'm talking about? He's not talking about fainting. He's talking about fainting in God's plan, God's path, doing what God wants you to do, following the Word of God, doing what God's called you to do, doing the hard things, walking out the hard things. He says, if you'll pray, you won't enter into the temptation to not obey me. And 1 Corinthians 14:4 tells us how and why. He that speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up, one translation says. One translation says to charge himself up. Well, that's interesting that Paul, who wrote that, who was the greatest used Christian ever, who went through hell on earth, but went through it in victory and in joy, said later in this chapter, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. Basically what he's saying is, I thank my God I'm built up more than any of you. How is he built up? Oh, because he's the Apostle Paul and he's so special and spiritual. Pastor Mike must be able to do this because he's just so special and spiritual. No. Pastor Mike's in the Word and Pastor Mike's praying in tongues. It's like one minister said, pray in tongues till your tongue falls off, pick it back up, put it back in and pray in tongues more. Till it falls out again and just rinse, repeat. Paul, the greatest Christian ever, used the most, went through hell on earth, went through it in victory and joy. We know why he was able to say in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. We know why in Acts 16, he's beaten and naked in prison and he's praising God and rejoicing and not fretting and whining. What's whining giving into the carnality? What's fear giving into the carnality? What's more place to be afraid than naked, stripped, and beaten in prison? That's when the fears and the doubts and the unbelief and the worry and the anxiety would be pressing on you the loudest. Why aren't they overtaking him? Because he told us the secret. I pray in tongues. Please pull up verse 18. I pray in tongues more than you all. More than y'all. More than y'all. I'm built up more than any of you. That's why I can act like none of you would. I'm not saying you. I'm saying what Paul was saying. I'm not hammering on you. I'm just saying, Paul's saying, this more than you all. I thank my God speaking tongues with you saying, I'm more charged up than anyone. That's why when I'm in prison, I'm rejoicing. That's why when hell on earth comes to my life, Paul's saying, I'm shouting. You know why you get out of walk out of love? Because you're carnal. You know what carnal means? Your flesh is dominating your spirit, man. You know why you enter into worry? You're just carnal. You know why you allow fear? You're just carnal. Your spirit man's not dominating. Praise God. Man, we were helped tonight. The Word is good. Thank you, Dad. I might be a prophet because before when I put my guitar down, I said, the Word is good. And we just found out the Word still was good. I mean, my goodness, maybe I do have the prophetic in me. I'm joking, by the way. I'm just completely joking. But it did come to pass. The Word is good. Well, you have your marching orders. Every day, pray in tongues. Every day. Feed on the Word. Every day, pray in tongues. Every day, feed on the Word. Every single day. Every single day. Every single day. Oh, I can't do that. Well, every day you make sure you sleep. Every day you make sure you eat. You're sure caring about your natural body. Every day I make sure I put my seatbelt on. Every day I make sure I'm going speed limit. Every day I make sure I'm doing this to my natural man. Oh, we're so careful about our natural man and so careless with our spirit man. The very realm that we dominate from. Let's do it different. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach the word tonight and just to tell truth. Father, we were helped tonight. We know what to do in those areas. Father, I'm not down on people that are struggling with obeying things in the word, that are struggling with things you spoke to them. Lord, I know what it's like. I stood up here tonight and told people, those things can be hard. I went looking for a third shift job. I tried to get out of things, Father. I've asked you, Lord, can we not do this? In fact, Lord, that's good. Jesus tried to do it. Jesus tried to get you to change because it was so hard on his flesh. So, Father, I get it. I'm not down on people. I'm not making fun of people. And I'm not pointing a finger at them or standing up from a platform to say, what's wrong with you? But I am trying to show them that they're missing out and there's better for them. So, Father, I pray that people, when they're struggling with their fears, when they're struggling with their anxieties, when they're struggling with depression, when they're struggling with worry, they have the recipe. Get in the Word and start praying in tongues more. Watch these things start to fall off. Watch the worry start to dissipate. Watch the fear start to go bye-bye. Thank you, Father, for that word tonight. We praise your holy name. Father, we love you. Let's just glorify him together. That's another thing. Yeah, I'll add that in there. Pray every day. Feed on the word every day. And praise every day. Because praise puts your attention on the victor. Praise puts your attention on the answer. So let's right now, let's put our attention on the answer. Father, we worship you. We praise you. David's attention was on God, and he didn't have a trouble going against that giant. Didn't have trouble against that lion or that bear. Why? His eyes were on God. Amen. Father, we worship you tonight. We praise you. Praise, prayer, and feeding. Praise, prayer, and feeding on the Word of God. Every day, if you'll be disciplined to do it, things will change. We worship you, Father. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy tonight. Father, I thank you that angels go before each and every one of them tonight. Bear them up in the angels' hands, lest they dash their feet against a stone. I declare no evil befalls them and no plague comes near their dwelling. Father, we thank you all the days of our life. We're healthy, wealthy, protected, full of joy, full of peace, and full of favor. Father, I thank you that we increase in this life and that we walk into the good of the land that you have for us. Because the good of the land is not just for us. The good of the land is for the kingdom. The good of the land is for the hurting. The good of the land is for the poor. So, Father, I thank you. As we walk into more, we increase those around us. We increase the kingdom. And we'll give you the glory and the praise. Thank you for our help tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I sure love and appreciate each and every one of you. Have a good rest of your week. We'll see you Saturday at 6. Well, that's going to get you moving. You're dismissed. Praise God. Satan is on the run.
We worship you. We worship you.